Congressman Big Horse?
Yes, ma'am.
We are on the air and ready to go.
All right. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I'd like to call this cultural meeting together. November the 17th in the year 2020. The time is 1:33 p.m. Roll call, please.
Congressman Maker?
Here.
Congressman Keene?
Present.
Congresswoman Rebard? Congresswoman Rebard? Congresswoman Stabler?
Present.
Congressman Big Horse?
Present. We have a quorum. Congresswoman Stabler, would you mind rendering a prayer for us this afternoon?
I'd be happy to. Well, if you will all join me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful fall day. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together to work for the Osage people. And we ask that you look over all of our people, and especially in these critical times of this virus and all those that seem to be affected, not just in our area, but around the world. And that to say that we need healing, Father. We need you to reach out and help us get to the other side of this pandemic. Ask that you watch over our sister, Alice Goodfox, in her days today and what she is going through. And we ask that you look over. We've had several relatives. Thank you. I ask all this in Jesus' name we pray.
Okay. Moving on to item number 4 is approval of minutes.
Is there a delay or what? Now he's gone. I think there must have been a delay because he was cutting her off. Oh, was I on mic? My phone's dead too.
Congressman Maker.
Oops, what's going on?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
It looks as if Congressman Big Horse left the meeting. Let me see if this is him rejoining. Congressman Big Horse, is that you?
Clerk, this is Jody.
Okay. Congressman Maker, it looks as if Congressman Big Horse was disconnected or left the meeting abruptly for some reason. Could you please, as vice chair, take over the meeting?
Yes, Madam Clerk. Okay, right now we are going over the minutes of our last meeting. So let's take a few minutes and go over those and see if there's any mistakes, changes, or discrepancies that may be present.
Madam Clerk?
There you are.
Yeah, thank you, Congressman Maker. I don't know where I went. My phone just went dead.
I relinquished the chair, sir.
Okay, and it sounded like you were on item number 1. Is that correct?
He was on approval of minutes, sir.
Oh, okay. Did we have a motion?
Not at this time.
Chair Big Horse, this is Rebard.
Yes, Congresswoman.
I've reviewed the minutes, and I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes dated September 22nd, 2020.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second, Maker.
Second. A motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes. Moving on to item number 5, ONCA 20-65. This is Congresswoman Stabler. You have the floor, ma'am. Hello? Hello?
Sorry, I was muted. Sorry. Sorry, here I am.
Okay.
this is about the chapel. And I know there's a lot of things up in the air right now, but I think this is a great opportunity for us to go over what's been presented by the committee that put this plan together and to be able to answer any questions that anyone might have. I sent out to Congress all of the plans and schedules and budgets that I had received from the architects. I also have invited, and I don't know who all was able to get on the call. I did hear Cherokee was on the call. I invited the five-man board from Pawhuska to join the call today, and a couple of the cooks that were really dynamic in this plan. And I don't know if I don't see them on the call today either. But any questions that that this committee might have, I guess a couple things I'd like to point out. If you're looking at the floor plan or have looked at the floor plan for the chapel. This room was originally called the family room years ago. And so that's what I've always referred to it as, is the family room, but it's the building that replaces the Little Wake and Iron. And the Little Wake and Iron has a wonderful history to it about how it was procured and all the that went into it what its original purpose was. And I always like to go back to that a little bit. The original times in those days, if there was anything that went on in the village, it usually went on at someone's home. And I know the home of Lily Cunningham was used a lot for hand games and for funerals and for things like that. And so some of the residents got together, and when the school came up for sale, some money was put together mainly by Wake and Iron, and they purchased the little schoolhouse. It's the original little Indian camp schoolhouse that sat out here just north of the village, and uh-huh. converted it into a community building. And so a lot of us, especially older ones like myself, we grew up in this building from the time we were babies. And that's where everything went on. It was every family event, hand games, birthday dinners, dances, all went on in that little tiny building. And of course, it progressed until they got a grant to build the big building. And once again, that was 50 years ago. And now we have outgrown that building. So that's what has brought us to this building, especially this chapel that we're talking about right now. It's going to have the capacity to hold over 200 people in it. The current Little Wake and Iron, with the remodel that was done on it some years ago, could hold about 160. And anyone who's attended funerals out there knows that that's just not enough room. We have people stacked up in the aisles and out on the porch, and they fill up the kitchen. And so it was one of the first parts of the discussion for this design was to expand it so that it would hold more people. And we've also found other purposes for this building. One of the things that became very opportunistic to use it for, because it was a separate building and it could be locked, such as the Little Wake and Iron, as that during Ilonska, the drum keeper uses this building. And they use it to store, they have so much that they have to store, and especially for those drum keepers, which was also a purpose of the original Little Wake and Iron community building, was that if you didn't have a home there in the village, you know, we used to just have camps. And so this was a way for them to have a place where they could keep all of their things. And so we've done this over several of the past drum keepers, and it's really worked out well. So there's some additional amenities, and that's why things are a little bit different in this community building. Number one, it's a lot bigger than the other two community buildings, and it's twice as big as the current little Wake and Iron building. It also has, I think, some showers in it and a little bit bigger storage facility for it. It's going to sit just west of the current Wake and Iron Community Hall, up where the playground is. They're going to move the playground and put it up there. And I want to say that all of the designs, whether it was for this building or the bigger building, there was a large community input by the board called in past drum keepers and head committeemen and whipmen and the current, the new family that had just come on the drum, all of them. And then we called in a lot of women, and especially before for the kitchens and for the big building. A lot of the cooks, past cooks, current cooks, family groups that cook in there a lot. These buildings, and especially out of Pawhuska, are used almost every weekend. I know we focus a lot on those 4 days, but the use it's an immense list of what these buildings are used for. And so it was an opportunity for them to really stretch their ideas about what kind of capacity they wanted and what kind of usefulness they wanted. They also conferred with the other villages on things that they thought had a shortfall or worked best for them, and this is what they came up with. So like I said, this hall is at least twice as big and maybe a little bit bigger than the other one, and it does have like I said, a little bit more storage space and such. Other than that, it's kind of the same kind of kitchen that they have in the other buildings, and it's going to have parking surrounding it. I think the other two buildings, like I said, they're smaller, and they are they're less than half the cost of what this building's going to be built to do, but it does have more to it than those other buildings do. So that's my little opening comment to it. And if anybody has any questions or comments, or be glad to answer.
Okay, I'll hold mine. Anyone else have any comments or questions about the new community building and our new chapel up here in the Waukokalee?
Congressman Bighorst, this is Rebard.
Yes, second speaker.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak as a congresswoman and also a cook and a member of the Waukokalee District with regards to our chapel. You know, we understand that each village is different and how they handle burials and things of that nature as far as cooking and things and food and space. We're fortunate that we have a square that will hold both our chapel and our building, unlike the other villages. They're limited because of their space. But I do know that our chapel is, we're out of space. And I do support this appropriation and the need for a new chapel. And I appreciate that we're leaving it, you know, in the square next to our building because it's functional. And I did attend the meetings. The chair of the 5-man board, Miss Margie Williams, had invited some of the cooks, and I was there as a cook and helping look at the kitchen and what have you. But as Paula stated, I remember, you know, being young and going into the old Wake and Iron, which is now where our chapel is. And of course, the growth that's happened over the years has caused a need for a bigger Wake and Iron Hall. And so these buildings, of course, complement one another for usage. And I just want to tell Congresswoman Stabler that I appreciate all of the documents, the support docs that she has sent. And I appreciate the 5-man board and the executive branch, the chief's office, for working diligently on getting us to where we are now. We also had Bruce Cass participated in the meetings as a committee member. And I was there when the drum keeper and his father was there. And so I just wanted to say thank you, Congresswoman Stabler. And I feel like that there's definitely a need for the chapel. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Second Speaker. Any other question or comment?
Mr. Chair, this is Maker.
Yes, Congressman Maker.
Yeah, I just have a comment, and it's probably something that everyone already knows, that we've been in the plans for building new facilities in the Wahuska Indian Camp Village for many years now. And we're just fortunate that through the years we've been able to have the funding to complete those projects, just like we have at the other villages. Now, I would like to say anyone who's been to a funeral at the existing chapel, you know how small it is and the history behind it, that Congresswoman Stabler was kind enough to give us a little background and history of the old building and of Mr. Redcorn, Waken Redcorn was his name, Waken Iron. But anyway, so we all know there's a big need for this. So I just want to say that much, that most of us know that this is needed. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Maker. Anyone, any other further comments or question? Hearing none, there's not much more I can say. I think everyone has expressed themselves about Wahuska. They waited to last, but they are probably getting, a substantial amount more than the other two districts. But we are a very, very large district, and since we have built these new arbors and the new community buildings, it has amazed me how quick we filled them up and still need extra room. I too am old enough to remember being in that Wahuska Chapel and cutting meat with Aunt Hank and Aunt Marion and Aunt Lily and some of our elders. And I can also remember that's where we held our committee dinners also. That's how small we were in the 60s. But I am very proud of the architect's rendition of what they're proposing. The parking looks like it's going to be a really added addition, and a lot of these little camps around the village here for the last 4 or 5 years have really picked up a lot of slack overflow because you just couldn't get enough people inside the existing Waken Iron. I know several camps that including ours, that has doubled or more than doubled with visitors looking for a place to grab a bite to eat between dances and a refreshment and a little rest. So I'm looking forward to this, and I too stand behind these projects. And with that being said, I'll turn it back over to Ms. Stabler if she has any further thing. You have, I believe, five-man board members on the line. I don't know if they need, if they want to express themselves, but if they do, the floor is open, ma'am.
Thank you. Does anybody have anything they want to, any comments they want to make from the board or whoever's on?
This is Cherokee, and I think everyone pretty much covered the consensus of the utilization of the chapel and how we've outgrown it and have outgrown it for a while. We've just been making do.
That might be one comment I might make about both buildings, you know, and of course we know this from the other districts too, but these buildings are worn out. They're just worn out. And I faced a lot of criticism over bringing down the old arbor at the time, but you know, you can see what a nice facility we have there now. And it'll be the same thing for these buildings. There's some people who've got some real heartache over bringing down the Little Wake, and aren't including me. I'm really sentimentally attached to it. But there comes a time when you do what's best for your community and what's best for your people and what can help in accommodating them. You know, I say all the time, we don't really need anything, but it sure makes it nice that we have facilities we can go to and have some air conditioning and put some shade over our heads and stuff. And it allows us to keep going no matter what the weather or what the temperature is. So these facilities are gonna, with what's been happened at Hominy and at Gray Horse and then what's about to happen there, this is projecting our future of our culture and our traditions. And I say, you know, they should be good for another 50 years. And really, it was always my thought that this should have happened back in the, you know, 2006 to 10 era. You know, we knew these things needed to happen. And so it's exciting for all these districts. And like I said, it's some things to check off the list. I think that's all I have for the chapel. What's on the next? Is the Waken Iron on the next one?
Well, we kind of got into both of them, but yes, Waken Iron is number six.
Okay.
So you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. So the current existing facility was built, I believe, in 1974. I haven't gone to look that up, but that's what I remember. It was in 1974 it was completed. And it was a shell, and it was considered a huge, vast building for us in those days. And you can take that hall and the amenities inside, the kitchen, the old family room, the bathrooms, were all done by residents. They paid for those parts and the grant paid for the shell. But that building you can now take and set inside of this arena of the new building. That arena or, you know, the center, don't know what else to call it, but like a little arena. The dance area for the new hall is 80 by 80, which is, I believe, the same size that Gray Horse is in their arena. And that's a lot more capacity than we've had in all these years. So that was huge. And like I said, I these are not my designs. These are designs of a group of people who not only use it for Iloshka, but we also use it for other dances. And the people who have to maintain it, who know about what it takes for the upkeep of these buildings. And that was the first thing that was expanded, was that part of it. But then there was a lot of amenities. Like I said, after talking to the other districts and really conferring about those of us who've been around a long time and taking care of the facilities and stuff. So there's some additions here that aren't at the other communities. We've added on a drumkeeper storage, which started out as a two-car garage. And the more they measured and talked about square footage, I believe it became a four-car garage. There's a lot of things that belong to the drum that are stored all over the village. And so we thought it would be nice to have it all in one area for a change and put them in there for them to be able to get a large walk-in pantry, something we've talked about for years and years out there. Then a storage for tables and benches. Then there's, just the stuff that belongs to the village itself for maintenance and making sure we had enough storage space for all those. So there's quite a bit of storage added to this building that was not there before. There's also a cook area, an outside cook area, which took a lot of time considering it's just a roof. But it took a lot of discussion to decide exactly how big and where it should go. And it's not just for the current great area for the outdoor cooking, but also the prep area. And, you know, when they do these big funerals and dances anymore, there's still a lot of outside preparation to be done. So they've added on a big covered area to not have to put tents up anymore, which is what we used to do. You pop up tents side by side out there. And then they wanted an expansion. It's, I would say it's probably close to double the current kitchen size with additional tables so that they can all have a place to prep and cook inside and not be crawling on top of each other like we've been doing. A little more thought went into where to placement of things and walkways and such. It came out nice, but you'll notice that big area, that's probably... It's almost a 5,000 square foot area that encompasses all of that. So it's a bit overwhelming, but you know, just like Congressman Big Horse mentioned earlier, we're the largest district. And I know the cooks, they prepare 500 plates a day during Alashka. And this last count, we can hold 1,200 dancers under our arbor. And I think we were over 1,000 this last year. It's just growing and growing and growing, and it's nothing to be afraid of. That's a wonderful thing that our culture is growing like that. And so this would be a nice facility. It is a lot bigger. It takes up the entire square that the Little Wake and Iron, the cook area, and the Big Wake and Iron all hold. It'll stretch from that whole length. But it'll be... One of the goals I asked them for was to give us the capacity to bring our dances back out to these villages. And that was really important to me. It's not that I have anything against going to the fairgrounds and stuff, but it's just, that's not ours. And I that's a personal thing for me to just want those dances to come back out there. And because where we can have the conveniences and the amenities and things that we need. I don't think I have anything else about this building unless somebody has some questions that we'd be glad to answer for you.
Okay, the floor is open for question or comment. Hearing no question, Congresswoman Stabler, do you still have Ms. Tishawala on the phone, and would she like to add to or say something?
Yes, I would, Speaker.
You have the floor, ma'am.
Thank you. I agree with Paula. It's different when you have to go somewhere else to do cultural things, and a lot of people look at this as it's a convenience, let's just have it there. But if you look at what you put in to renting those facilities that you have, say the fairgrounds or wherever else, and you look at what money you're putting into the Wake and Iron where you can have those cultural events again, it's really not a question as to does that make sense. It's, that's the logical thinking. Let's save some money and invest it in our own community where we can use that facility for a long time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Swalla.
Mr. Chair, I did have a question.
Congressman Maker.
Oh, thank you, sir. Yeah, mine is just a little small, tiny question while we're talking about this. Now, these two bills, 2065 and 2002, now, are these going to be the total of what these projects are going to need, or is there going to be any future requests for appropriation to to finish these projects? Is this the bottom line of both projects, I guess is my question. Thank you.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Okay, I don't know if anybody can commit to that or not, but because you know that's what's happened with the others is they've had to come back for appropriations too. But we think this covers the cost of the buildings. I think they're working on getting some bids out now for construction. Now there's of course roads, and same with the other villages. Roads came in and did their thing, and those were covered with their dollars. I don't recall. I can't remember if there was any additional site work. I can't remember now if there was something additional, if that's included in this. I could go back over those documents and see, but far as I know right now, this is the ask.
Hello, this is Marjorie Williams. I'd like to speak.
Margie?
Yes, Ms. Williams, you have the floor, ma'am.
Thank you. I apologize for arriving on the call late, but I just want to remind everyone that this building, these two buildings, are being built simultaneously at the same time where other villages were built. The buildings were built different times from their chapels. If you would add those two together, if they were built at the same time, then their expenses might be the same.
That's true.
Yes, ma'am.
That's true. And that was actually part of the original consideration. But we're already way past that part of it because we couldn't act last fall or during session. We were trying to get this through for the chapel at the first of session and get it going so then we could back up and do the Wake and Iron, get the chapel built first before the big Wake and Iron was torn down or the little Wake and Iron, either one. And so we're kind of beyond that now. I would like to go ahead, of course, with the thoughts that, you know, we have the money coming in. Didn't think about that being something available to us at this time. But like I said, these are projects that wind up the villages as far as getting their community construction done. There's still a lot of work to do in the villages, but this is the main thing to get done. And so that's why the hefty price tags, number one, they're a lot bigger than the other districts, and the fact that it's all being done at once, basically.
Okay, I have a question for our clerk. Madam Clerk?
Yes, sir.
We didn't take any action on item number 5. And I don't know that we're going to on item number 6. Congresswoman Stabler, do you know, since we're waiting on this information, should we table these to the call of the chair, or
what's chair, your preference? This is the clerk.
Yes, clerk.
I just want to let the committee know that there's nothing, even though you're waiting on information from the Treasury or whatever concerning the discussions that were taken during appropriations this morning. Even though you're waiting on that information, it does not prohibit you from taking action on any of these bills. They ultimately all have to be voted on because this is a special session and they all have to be dealt with in this session. If there is any changes that need to be made, they can be made on the floor. They don't have to be made in committee. So it's completely up to the committee as to how they wish to proceed. If they want to hold it in the committee and wait, or if they want to go ahead and report it to the body and then potentially make amendments on the floor if they're necessary. They may not be necessary, but there is nothing that stops you from taking action on this legislation, and ultimately it's going to have to come out of committee at some point in time.
All right. Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. So is it okay for me to back up to item number 5 and ask the question Is there any movement or?
Absolutely.
Okay. I am, without objection, I'm backing up to ONCA 20-65, $1,720,000 to the Capital Asset Fund for Wake and Iron Chapel in Pawhuska Indian Village. Is there Chair. Any?
Chair, yes. This is Stabler. I make a motion to report ONCA 2065 to Congress as a due pass, with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And those opposed? Okay. ONCA 2065 will move on. Moving on to number six, ONCA 20-02. We've had extensive conversation about it also. So the chair is looking for movement on item six.
Mr. Chair, this is Stabler.
Yes, Congresswoman Stabler.
I'd like to make a motion to report ONCA 2002 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second. This is Rebar.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passes. ONCA 20-02 will move on. Item number seven, ONCA 21-04. Congress Speaker Pratt is the sponsor. It's for the National Native American Veterans Memorial. Speaker Pratt, you have the floor, ma'am.
I'm coming in.
Chair, just a moment. Let me see if she's at her computer.
Okay.
There she is.
Okay. Unmuted.
Okay. She's ready to go.
Okay. ONCA 21-4 for the National Native American Veterans Memorial. Speaker Pratt is the sponsor, and you have the floor.
All right. Thank you,
Madam Congress. Speaker.
Thank you, Congressman Big Horse. I've asked the clerk to send the information out again that was shared with the Culture Committee back in March. So I believe we'd have a new committee by now, right? But Elaine Webster from NMAI spoke to the committee at that time. Also, Kevin Gover, the director of the National Museum of the American Indian, met with Chief Standing Bear and I months back. This was all just before COVID, kind of the outbreak. So I believe everyone's received the information that we have. There was originally these packets and the case for support. So this is something that I've been involved with for several years now, probably since right as I came on to Congress. And I had participated in, what do you want to call them, public meetings, listening sessions, if you will, regarding the concept of the National Native American Veterans Memorial. As most everyone knows, I am a veteran of the Army, and I am in extreme support of this memorial. I also supported the Osage Memorial, and at that time, back in, I believe, 2013 or 2014, I met Elaine Webster and at one of those listening sessions and gave my comments as to my experience as being a Native American soldier and veteran and what it was like for me, because we had to discuss what the concept would be now that this was finally approved by Congress to have a long overdue National Native American Veterans Memorial. And so I gave my information and shared my story, and she contacted me after that. So like I said, I've been involved because I was very proud to have been one of the original, there was probably 10 to 15 that reviewed the original information, which is the information they put together here, and you all have some in your packets, and it's the case for support that they were going to take out and share with the public for the concept. And that was before they even had the drawings. So that was just, they wanted to put the information out, and then they put a call out for Native artists. And as you know, Mr. Harvey Pratt with the Cheyenne Arapaho tribe, who's also a resident of Oklahoma and retired OSBI investigator, was chosen. His drawing was chosen. And since then, they've raised about $13 or $14 million. So Ms. Webster and I have been in communication for a long time, but at the time when she originally started asking Chief Standing Bear and discussing with myself a contribution, we were working on the Osage Veterans Memorial. And anyway, so then time passed and we were just leading up to it because we were about to meet the deadline, which was actually in June to be included. For our tribe information to be included. But then coronavirus happened. So at that time, the cultural committee did review it. I looked at this information, spoke with Ms. Webster. If some of you, I think we have some of the same committee members. But anyways, they have extended the deadline due to coronavirus. Coronavirus has also kind of kept them from meeting their goal in fundraising. So they're, I think, a few million short at this point, but also at the same time, in order for us to be our seal and all that to be included at the memorial to honor our Osage veterans, we would need to make a contribution. I think you have most of the information that was emailed out to you. So if you have any questions, I would also be able to contact Mr. Gover or Elaine Webster to communicate with us. But again, we're kind of up against a time frame at this point again. Because they have done a soft opening on Veterans Day. It was scheduled to have a massive, awesome opening on Veterans Day this year. And due to COVID, that couldn't happen. So they've done a soft opening. There's a video out showing the end result. And so I can share any more information that you might need. But I just... I'm open for any questions, but this is something I support very much. We have countless Osage veterans, and this is long overdue in our nation for them to include a Native American Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. So I just want Osage and hope that Osage would be a part of it. I've also received... I think it's gone out, but a letter of support from the Chief Standing Bear administration and also veterans within his cabinet. So thank you.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. That was a heartfelt and very passionate. Are there Any comments or question?
Mr. Chair, this is Maker.
Yes, Congressman Maker.
Yes, I think this is something long overdue for the for this country, the United States of America, to honor the Native Americans, all Native Americans, veterans. Since we were historically at war with the United States for so long, hundreds of years, so maybe this can be a healing process for Native Americans and the federal government. So I do thank them for this project, for recognizing all Native American veterans, of which I too am a veteran. And but I can support this as long as the funds are available for these new projects. And but I would like to remind this committee and the other Congress members who might be listening in, we need to remember and learn from what happened in the last session when we had to cut funding to programs and departments and direct services. So I just think that we need to remember that we need to be cautious about how we spend our money. That goes for all these appropriations in the special session. But I can be for this. I'm a veteran. I think it's great. I would like to be there for the opening. I would like to accompany Speaker Pratt. If she travels there, I would be willing to go with her to represent the nation. So thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Maker.
Chair Bickhorst?
Yes.
Mr. Chair? I just wanted to follow up on what Congressman Maker was saying about the funds. I just wanted to make note, I didn't see a funding source listed on the legislation, so that could be something that the committee could address today before sending it out to the floor. There's, you know, it's only $100,000, so, and there's $1.9 million in the general fund in the treasury right now, so it wouldn't have to come out of the retained revenue fund if Congress didn't want it to.
Thank you, Jordan. I appreciate that. Madam Speaker?
Yes, sir.
Did you have a preference on which direction the money come from?
Well, that's what I was because I, you know, knew the conversation would be kind of up in the air, sort of on the funds, then it is my thought, yes, to put it out of the general fund, because it's something, again, we're a bit, we're just there. It needs to happen. They've extended their deadline a time or two. So I think there was the option of even being a 4-year plan, payment plan, but you know, we can't necessarily, I don't think we've ever done that, broken up into payments. So, I would like to have the funding just appropriated at once. And I would prefer that it be out of the general fund, and I don't have it before me, so I could take care of that at this time, or I could just share it on the floor with the others. That's going to have to take place.
Okay. And I just had a short comment, my own self. Although I never served in the military, I was fortunate enough to grow up in times when this country was at peace. But I can go back to my grandfather, born 1899, and he was a World War I vet, Matter of fact, I think Wakenarn and him, my grandpa, Pete Bighorse, were the last two living World War I vets that we had here on our reservation, here in Pawhuska for sure. I know they went post 198, went to him and talked to him about organizing their own Indian post. And then from there, I had two uncles in World War II. I had two uncles in the Korean conflict. I had an uncle in Vietnam. And then that's kind of when we hit the peacetime. And our veterans kind of dwindled down until the desert storms started hitting. So as Congressman Maker said, this is something that I am certainly going to stand behind. We, as a tribe, we had many fluent, not only fluent Osage speakers, but they had been off to these trade schools that they built for our youngsters and became proficient in English. So we were, our natives were recognized as code talkers in World War I, and we received a gold medallion for that effort. There was a number of us tribes that were called up there. And Congresswoman Pratt, I just, my hat's off to you. I appreciate everything that you've done for our country and everything that you continue to do. If there's no other comments or question,
Chair would entertain. Chair, this is Stabler. Yes. I have a comment.
Yes, Congressman Stabler.
I just wanted to say I too am very much in favor of this. You know, there's only things that come around once in a lifetime, and this is something that's going to live on forever as recognition to those natives who served, you know, without even being citizens of the United States, they served. And I myself, my family, we have over 13 veterans going back through the First World War and prior to that, and have some active service boys right now. So I'm definitely in favor of this, and I'm glad that we're going to try to move this out of the general fund so it can move on ahead on its own. Speaker, do you have an amendment for that? Or
I am trying to get that up. It's running a little slow in here. Can you give me just a minute?
Yes.
We'll go ahead and take care of that now. Thank you.
Jordan, you did catch that, didn't you?
Mr. Chairman.
Now, Jordan, I was just wondering if you had caught that it was coming out of the general fund.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, this is Trey.
Yes, Trey.
I can give you the language for the proposed amendment. It would simply be page 1, line 35, after 100,000, insert out of the general fund in the treasury.
That's what I have, but I also have it at line 16.
Yeah, if you make it in the body, I generally will do the title as well. But yeah, if you want to make it in both places, you can do that.
Okay, cool. All right, well, I would just assert the language that Mr. Gill just, which is out of the general fund of the Treasury on line 35.
The motion.
I'll second. This is Rebard.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Amendment passes.
Thank you.
Now we're back on the original. Madam Clerk, would we be back on the original piece of legislation, or does that take care of it?
That just amends it. Now it, now there would have to be movement to report it if you want to report it to the body.
Okay, Chair is looking for movement.
Speaker, this is Stabler. I'll take care of it.
Okay.
I move to report ONCA 2104 to Congress with the due pass recommendation.
Second.
As amended.
As amended. Thank you.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Hearing none, 2104 will advance on. Moving down to item number 8, we have executive session. Do we have a motion?
Chair, this is the clerk.
Yes, Madam Clerk.
That executive session was just in the event that there was some confidential or proprietary information that needed to be discussed concerning the construction of the villages. And if there's not anything pertaining to that, then there's no need to go into executive session.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Congresswoman Stabler, is there anything proprietary that we need?
No, I think we've taken care of everything today.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Then next is number 9, adjournment.
Chair, this is Rebard. I'd like to make a motion that we adjourn.
We'll have a motion to adjourn. Looking for a second.
Second. This is Stabler. Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, we're adjourned until tomorrow. Thank you. Check your emails for... 2065 and 20-02 and 21-04.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I'm still like on camera. Hold on.